I haven't done this in 4.5 years, and I'm a bit nervous. Well, I hope you all had a fabulous Thanksgiving, spent with friends and loved ones, and that if you're into football, your preferred team won. I must admit, I am having a bit of trouble feeling grateful for the Broncos' loss this past Friday. But lose they did. I digress, and I'm just into my opening. I have always loved Thanksgiving, not so much because of the overeating or the football, although the overeating part is nothing new to me, but because for the last 18 years I have worked at a place where we traded a holiday in order to have the Friday after Thanksgiving off, and a 4-day weekend is a special thing. In the past 23 years, I can count the number of times I have taken more than 4 days off at any given time on one hand, and very few of these were for true vacations. Mostly it was either for surgery or to deal with my mom and dad's declining health, an ultimate passage from this realm into the next, whatever that may be. In other words, I am very grateful for Thanksgiving. I'm fairly certain we all expressed our gratitude for all of our numerous blessings this past Thursday, and I'm sure many of you are appreciative and express such daily. I want to talk about the blessings that aren't necessarily so obvious. If tomorrow is like most Mondays, especially those following 4-day weekends, throughout the day I will find myself wishing the day away. Is it noon yet? It's 5 somewhere. Is this the slowest day ever? Are we in a time warp or what? Will it ever be Tuesday? Even as I was typing up this paragraph, I found myself finding it hard to summon up a sense of appreciation for Mondays, although, of course, without Mondays, we could have no Fridays. And I am eternally grateful for Fridays. But Mondays are essential. After all, someday has to be the first day of renewed routine after a break, doesn't it? For a couple of years, I worked 2 jobs, moonlighting as a retail clerk in order to get my daughter to France with her college friend, her high school French class. See what happens when you look away from the script? Retail, for those of you who have not done it, is very, very hard on your feet. It was during the Christmas shopping season 1 year, and my feet were really aching. I found myself wishing I didn't have to work this one particular Saturday, when I found myself inquiring of myself, self, how would you feel about this day if you knew it was your last day on earth and that you were going to die about 5 minutes after your work shift ended? I doubted that I would be in such a hurry for it to be over. Now, in this scenario, it wasn't like I knew I was going to die and could leave work to make the most of the few hours I had left. It was a scenario in which I worked my shift and perhaps got into a fatal accident on the way home, something like that. Well, I would have found myself trying to live every moment, paying attention, really paying attention to the hours I had left. Who knows, maybe I even would have volunteered to work a little overtime. Naturally, I would want to make sure those I love knew I love them. But aside from that, I would also want to remember the joy of being alive, the physical feeling of walking, breathing, that first taste of chocolate on my taste buds. I know, we're just 3 days post-Thanksgiving, and here I am talking about chocolate already. I would also want to feel the relief of sitting down after being on my feet. But there were emotional feelings as well, like helping a customer or laughing with a coworker, trying to make someone's day a little bit brighter. Perhaps I would just want to know that I had done the very best I could. The only other thing I remember about that day and that shift was how quickly it went by. Oh, yes, and how carefully I drove home after work when my shift was over. I have used this thinking process on numerous occasions, usually Mondays, in order to help myself cope with the day in as productive a manner as possible. Okay, so I can find a way to be grateful for Mondays. Most of the time, I'm grateful I have a job. You already know I'm grateful, exceedingly grateful for Fridays. I'm grateful I have heat, and those of you who know me well are absolutely positive I am extremely appreciative of air conditioning, pretty much during any season in which we don't need heat. Obviously, I'm grateful for my friends and family, and for those of you who showed up today, whether you knew I would be speaking or not. I am grateful for Boof. But as we know, it can be exceedingly difficult to live in a constant state of gratitude. After all, look around. Misery is ubiquitous. There are people suffering all over the world, whether physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. And how are they expected to be grateful for their experiences? It makes you wonder if we can be grateful for something while it is happening or only afterwards, after we have experienced the consequences of the initial suffering, after we have learned the lesson. Even then, there are experiences in which our social structure has no place for gratitude. We must look elsewhere. If there is a master plan or real meaning to life on this planet, or other planets for that matter, perhaps we're not here just to make money and have fun, as our commercials would have us believe. And perhaps we're not even here just to help others, although it's hard to find too many arguments against helping others. In any event, maybe we're here to learn. If so, it would make sense to be grateful for any and all experiences that offer us an opportunity to learn, which would include learning from giving, learning from receiving, and learning from what most people might perceive of as failure. Well, we don't often learn from things that don't cause us some distress, do we? We even have sayings about not taking action when things are going smoothly, such as don't fix it if it ain't broke, or don't rock the boat. I'm not suggesting we deliberately rock every smooth sailing boat we come across, or that we attempt to change everything that is well run just so that we can create chaos and thus an opportunity to learn. I am, however, saying that sometimes the toughest lessons are the ones for which we should perhaps be the most grateful. Remember back to your first day of class in college or high school, some class that you really did not want to take and you wouldn't have taken except that it was a requirement. Perhaps you dreaded going to class every day and had no idea why you needed any of the lessons being taught in that class. Perhaps the teacher or the professor provided a syllabus and an outline of what you would know by the end of the semester. You read the syllabus, but knowing that you would learn something by the end of the class did not mean you knew it by reading what you would learn. Do you want me to say that again? Because that was kind of an awkward sentence. You read the syllabus, but knowing that you were going to learn something by the end of the class didn't mean you knew it just by reading the syllabus about what you were going to learn. You still had to take the class, and you still had to learn it. You still had to do the work. Now imagine for a moment that we have multiple lives, much like we take multiple classes in high school and college. Perhaps we know we have to be here in the physical realm in order to learn various lessons that we can't learn just with the knowledge that we need to learn something. I awoke from a dream once, one of my very few lucid dreams, wondering if going through multiple lives was much like going to sleep and dreaming at night. Some of the dreams are nightmares, some are good, but we go through them knowing we will awaken. Perhaps we spend our time on this earth knowing it too will come to an end, be it a good dream or a nightmare, but knowing we will learn from it and that we must be here and do the work. Perhaps much like studying for a final exam, we aren't exactly sure what we're supposed to learn for the test. In fact, perhaps the most difficult part is learning what the lesson actually is. I'll give you an example. Many years ago, I spontaneously dropped in to visit an old friend one day when I found myself in her town at around lunchtime. I stopped by her office thinking maybe we could have lunch together. She happened to be 8 months pregnant at the time and was finding it difficult to work all day and move around a lot. We were able to have lunch, but she wanted to go home for lunch, so we drove all the way to her house, where she proceeded to fix lunch for her husband and for me. Her husband was a seasonal worker and off work at the time. He never said thank you or moved out of his recliner the entire time we were there. And she's 8 months pregnant, moving around and cooking and just got done with work, and I was really kind of fried. She served him lunch, and we ate in the kitchen like servants, or at least where servants eat in movies. I wouldn't know. It was everything I could do not to criticize his behavior and her for putting up with it. I wanted her to know that she didn't have to live like this, but somehow I kept my mouth shut. And those of you who know me know that's not easy either. Later, I did her numbers. Now, I don't necessarily believe in numerology, but I find it useful sometimes with opening up to different views. And I found it useful in how I viewed my perception of her experience. Her life path number, which is the number obtained from reducing the numbers from one's birth date, was a 4. The key words to know with regard to a life path of a 4 are limitation, order, and service. Whether you believe in numerology or not doesn't matter. As I basically said, I'm not necessarily an advocate, but I find anything that helps us look at life in new ways to be expansive. What I realized in reading up on her life path number was that it was possible that she was here to learn how to cope with being in service or feeling limited, boxed in, or that maybe she even enjoyed their relationship and knew that he wasn't very communicative at that moment for some other reason, like a toothache, something like that. Now, if she had been being beaten or if he had been abusive in any way, I would have taken some action. But simple silence and service does not, to me, create a moral imperative that I take such action. Instead, I looked at my family's individual numbers and their lives and suddenly saw the possible lessons in their lives differently, as well as my place in those lives. I'm not saying that my realizations were accurate at all. I am, however, saying that looking at it from this new perspective helped me see all sorts of possibilities and helped me to let go of the need to fix her life. Some of you know I have a son in prison. The lessons I learned in raising two children as a single mother were difficult enough, but going through all the chapters that led to my son's incarceration were numerous and exceedingly difficult. In fact, I'm still learning how to recover. Being grateful for them has been difficult, especially when I don't know how the story will end. It's still being written. However, I can tell you some of the things I have learned, for which I am exceedingly grateful. First of all, I learned that a college degree is helpful, but no guarantee of financial stability when raising children alone. So I learned how not to spend money on things the children and I did not need. I learned that there is much I do not need, and that many of our perceived needs are not real, but are there to keep our economy going and to help us accept ourselves, to look a certain way, to manipulate how others perceive us. I learned way before the economic freefall a couple of years ago that more and more people were falling through the cracks of our socioeconomic structure, and that many more were spending money way beyond their means. I have learned that control over one's children is at some point a total illusion. I even at one point questioned the existence of unconditional love. Even so, I had to learn tough love. I learned that when a child does not obey the laws of the land, some people will believe that it is the parent's fault no matter what. I learned that only in doing the best you can will you have much hope of not blaming yourself, and even then, it's a pretty daunting task. I even, very briefly, wondered if the children would have been better if I had never left their father. But like I said, that was brief. That's another story. I learned that I think I have historically been a very judgmental person, and that it's a lesson I am still learning. Even today, when I visit Jared out at the prison, as I am waiting with other parents or girlfriends, other family members, I tend to notice what the other visitors are wearing and wonder about their education or intelligence. I find myself judging. I now notice when I feel judged, and I know it's probably appropriate that I notice it, considering how much I've done it throughout my life. I have also learned that my perceptions are sometimes wrong. I admit it, I am sometimes wrong. Don't tell my daughter, though. She's not here today. I have learned that I am both stronger and weaker than I thought I was. I am grateful for these lessons. I do not remember feeling very appreciative when I was going through them, and I honestly can't say that I wouldn't have preferred to have learned these lessons differently. I guess I had to learn and continue to learn the hard way. So can we be grateful in the moment? Yes. As Elizabeth welcomes us every week and reminds us to be present, to put away what we were doing earlier and what we plan on doing later, to be here now. That is gratitude in the moment. That is being grateful, gratefulness as a verb. Being there and not giving up. Putting one foot in front of the other, or if you are not able to ambulate, breathing one breath after the other, living one day at a time, and sometimes 1 minute at a time, until our time is up. I thank you all for being here and sharing this journey with me.